Investing Simplified is brought to you by Chuck Price, President and Wealth Manager of Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm and author of Investing Simplified, the book. Individual situations will vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated. Investing Simplified is the longest-running live financial show in America, with a financial advisor, an estate planning attorney, and a CPA to answer your questions for free, and is broadcast live from Portland, Oregon on affiliated stations throughout the Pacific Northwest. Chuck can be contacted by visiting www.pfgwm.com. You can email Chuck with a question at askchuck@pfgwm.com. Or you can call him right now at 503-417-9595. That's 503-417-9595. Or for our long distance and podcast listeners, you can call toll free at 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Chuck Price.
Well, welcome to Investing Simplified. What a wonderful day. I have in studio with me Kevin Stege with the Baker Coastal CPA firm.
Hello, Chuck.
And Carl's taking the weekend off, so it's just you and me to answer questions.
Sounds good.
Yeah, if you got a legal question, just call. I may wing it here. I played one time on the radio.
You played an attorney on the radio?
Yeah, for Carl. Just kind of filled in for him.
Oh,
just,
I see.
Just a joke. For all you people out there, I was joking. Don't really practice law. Not at all. Anyway, you know, we're going to have an exciting show because I told you before I left that I was going to discuss with the audience an annuity product that I thought was the absolute worst annuity. And I want to relate this to the fact that the DOL has just come out, Department of Labor. Now, why on earth the Department of Labor had to get involved in retirement investing, I have no idea. It's kind of like what most Americans really don't get. And the news and the investment industry has fought and fought on this, and they're going back and forth with the government. Government doesn't create anything. They just create chaos. And when you have a bill like Dodd-Frank, what most people don't really understand, that probably costs the average American investor 10 to 20% of their return. Now, let me explain this to you because this people say, oh my God, I lost 20%. No. In other words, if you would have made 1% on an investment because of Dodd-Frank, you only made 0.9%. You lost 0.1%. Now, that doesn't sound like much. But when you take 100 million people investing and they have billions and billions of dollars investing, it makes a big difference to your return. And this is the same thing the DOL has done. Yeah, the intent was they wanted to be fairness in retirement planning. But what they really did, and there's all kinds of lawsuits going on this, and I hope some prevail, and some are ridiculous to prevail to begin with, but I hope some do because what they're really doing is they're going to kill part of the investment options that you have and I have for retirement planning are going to go away. That's what's going to happen. The government has no logic. They think they're doing the betterment for everybody, so everybody fits in the same box. Well, I got news for you. We have 330 million people in America, and I guarantee you we all have different thoughts and things that we want done, and we all have different opinions. That's what's so great about America. We can come on the radio, and I can tell you my opinion. I don't have to worry about the government coming and arresting me. At least I hope not. But anyway, I think the new regulations that EOL have put out, some of it's good, but I think the majority of it is useless. And it's going to cost you and me. It's going to cost investment companies, insurance companies, the retirement planning industry. It's going to hurt a lot of people. And the small 401k plan and the small investor is going to lose out because nobody's going to want to work with them. That's the fact. You're not going to want to work if you can't get paid. And listen, I don't care what kind of industry you're in. If I told you you had to go to work tomorrow and you didn't get paid, you probably go find another job. Don't you think so, Kevin?
I would think so.
Yeah, most people, the reason they work or they do something is they're going to make some end results, some return off it. And if you can't make return off it, smart businesses will not do business in businesses that they cannot make money off of. So, again, talk about job killing, job creation, job destruction. We just did it again. Yeah, we're really good at it.
So what is this new regulation, or in general, what's the gist of?
Well, in general, and they want full disclosure on retirement plans, which I have no problem with. That's fine. But they're going to basically chart in fees and expenses in investment vehicles that really aren't there, that you're going to have to make the client aware of, that the company's holding this money long term and they're investing the money. I wonder if they're going to carry this to the banks, because if they did it to the banks, of course, we all know we have the best politicians money can buy, and Obama's bought and paid for by Goldman Sachs, so is Hillary, and we already have the best politicians money can buy, so they're not going after the big banks, they're going after the small little guy, and it's just ridiculous what's going on, but I am writing an article about it. For a national magazine, and I'll have that published. So it's my opinion, but that in two bits gets you my opinion. But I'm going to discuss offshoot of that is an annuity, and I mentioned this before I left. I was going to tell you the worst annuity. The first thing anybody ever talked to you about an annuity, the first thing you ought to do is pick up the phone and call BrokerCheck and check their history to find out if they've had any problems selling annuities. And I can tell you, I compete with guys all day long, and I pull them up on BrokerCheck, and I see guys having 3-4 complaints. Some have been settled. Some are still in process. And usually they have to do with long-term investments like variable annuities or fixed indexed annuities or annuities. So, look, before you buy something, check the person out you're sitting down and talking to. I have no problem with that. And, Kevin, same thing is true with a CPA or an attorney. You check them out. You know, if you go to an attorney that's been disbarred a couple of times, maybe it might not be the attorney you want to use. If you go to an advisor and he has 4 or 5 complaints on selling seniors variable annuities, maybe you want to check it out. Maybe you might not want to do something there, you know? I mean, common sense. But you got to look at it. You can go to brokercheck.org, check out any broker who's ever been licensed for securities. You can check out their history. You can check out if they have any complaints against them. The other thing is you pick up the phone, you call the state of Washington or you call the state of Oregon, whichever state you live in, or you can go online and you can check out to see if there's any been any complaints, if they've had to pay any fines, if they've been found to violate any of the regulations of the state law. Now, wouldn't it just – here's the amazing thing to me, Kevin. If guys break the laws and they're still allowed to do practice, what does that tell you about the industry? Tells you there's a real inherent problem right there, because what most people don't know, and this is for the state insurance, the annuities, the state gets a piece of the pie on all the annuities, all the insurance products sold, because they have a legal reserve insurance system. They collect fees, so if a company goes bankrupt, all of this very good sound stuff. But money sometimes clouds your judgment. And we don't know. I mean, I see things where guys have sold things, and I kind of wonder, why in the heck did they sell that to this person? Because the person's old, they shouldn't have bought this product, and the guy sold it to him. Well, he did it because of the commission. Simply, that's it. It's the commission. And sometimes I think state regulators look at these fees that they're getting in from the insurance companies, rather than putting the kibosh and stopping the transactions, they just kind of let it go. And I think that happens throughout industry. In the industry I've been in for the last 45 years, I see it. I see guys have been fined. I see guys now. The CFP came out and said that if you filed bankruptcy and you're a certified financial planner and you filed bankruptcy, you have to disclose it if it's been within the last 3 years. Really? I know CFPs in this town that have went through bankruptcy twice, and they don't have to disclose it because it hasn't been in the last 3 years. Now, I understand there may be mitigating circumstances to why you filed bankruptcy, but I can tell you something. I have a problem with a guy saying to you, hey, invest your $1 million with me. Oh, by the way, I went through bankruptcy three times or whatever, and... You need to check these things out. In my book, Investing Simplified, I tell people one of the first questions you got to ask your financial advisor is, have you ever had any financial difficulty? Have you ever filed bankruptcy? I have no problem when somebody asks me that because the answer, like a good attorney that I played on the radio one time, you never ask a question you don't know the answer to, right? And I know the answer. No, I haven't had any of those problems. No, I haven't done any filings like that. No, I've never had a problem with the state or the federal government on my license at all. So, you know, these are things that basic common sense you need to ask. And I hear guys all over saying things on the radio, as a matter of fact. You need to check them out. That's what broker check's for. Check out broker check. Check out the guy you're dealing with. Check out his history. Check it out. Look, if there's smoke, there might be fire. And I'm not saying the guy's just guilty because somebody filed a complaint on him, but here's the problem. When you file a complaint, it's very hard to do because you have to go in and you have to say that you got misled in what you bought, and particularly now with all the disclaimers, you're signing your name 27 times. And they're going to simply look at you and say, well, did you sign your name? Did you read what you signed? And you say, well, no, we didn't have time. We'd have been there for, you know, and that's the problem with our system. We have too dang many forms. I would like to go back to a time when things were simple, written in plain language. You had one sheet of paper that says, here's your fees, here's your charges, here's your expenses. You understand they're investing your money. You could have risk. You could make losses. You could make gains. You know, and... right out there in the open. It would be good. We have a couple of callers, but first, the one I'm going to take first is a gentleman I asked to call the show. He's a guy who's and I'm going to give a full disclosure here. He he does invest with us. He invests with my son. His name is Tom Hunt. He's with the Paralyzed Veterans, the Oregon chapter, and today they're doing a golf tournament, June 4th. There was tee off at 1 p.m. at McNary. If you got time this afternoon, if you can take the heat, go down there. This is for a great cause. Tom, are you on the line?
I'm here, Chuck.
Hey, Tom, thanks for calling in. You know, we like on our show to be able to help different organizations. And of course, Carl and I are both veterans. And we are very, very favorable to veterans organizations, and particularly paralyzed or are veterans who are disabled. And as you may know, when I wrote my book, at the time I wrote my book, Wounded Warriors was, and I've donated to Wounded Warriors, and I know they've gotten some bad press, but I think 90% of what they do has been very, very good. And I've been an advocate for that organization, and I have sent them money. And I think it's important in this country that we thank the veterans, particularly those paralyzed veterans or disabled veterans who have served the ultimate. Now, death is ultimate, but boy, if you're totally paralyzed, that's a pretty ultimate sacrifice that you did for this country and for people who have the freedom to vote and have the freedom to live the lives we live because of veterans like you.
You know, Chuck, you were just talking about all the forms that you have to fill out and get bogged down in all the quagmire for investing and whatnot. But, you know, that's what the Oregon Paralyzed Veterans of America does. We help our veterans work through the VA system to make sure they get the benefits that they're entitled to. And the ways that we, since we are a 501c3 nonprofit, the only way that we can stay funded is doing these fundraising events, such as the golf tournament this afternoon at 1 o'clock. and then our banquet and auction following at 5:30. It's so important that we are able to keep this organization funded so that we can not only help the veterans work through the paperwork through the VA. As you know, the VA system can be a nightmare to work through, but we've got guys on the inside that help our veterans get the benefits that they're entitled to, as well as getting our paralyzed veterans out into the community to the golf tournament, to our trap shoot coming up next month. And then we've got a car show in August.
Yes, speaking about that, there's a trap shoot going to be July 23rd at the Albany Gun Club. And that event goes from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., check-ins at 9 o'clock. I highly recommend you check it out if you're into trap shooting or into fundraising to help the paralyzed veterans. And also, there's going to be a great car show August 13th, and that's going to be at Hager's Grove in Southeast Salem, Oregon. And car shows are always cool, particularly a lot of the baby boomers love car shows.
Oh, you bet. And, you know, we'll be raffling off a 2006 Pontiac Solstice at the car show and unveiling our 2016-2017 raffle vehicle. So you won't want to miss that. We've got some really very cool oldies coming in for this.
Well, listen, I'll tell you, we think it's very important that we recognize how many paralyzed veterans do we have in Oregon?
In Oregon, we've got as members of the Oregon Paralyzed Veterans of America, we've got approximately 400 members. And that's not to say how many people that are out there that don't know about the organization that could benefit from it.
Well, and I hope maybe we can catch a couple here on the air that are not aware of it and can get involved in your organization.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Listen,
again, if anybody wants to come down to the banquet and auction or the golf tournament, again, that's going to tee off at 1 o'clock this afternoon at McNary Golf Club in Kaiser, and then we'll follow that up with a banquet and auction.
You know, I've got your contact information here, but if somebody wants to contact Tom directly, it's at the
They go right to our website at Oregon PVA. That's Oregon Paul Victor Adam .org.
Okay, and the phone number for the office is 503-362-7998.
Correct.
And I tell you, these are organizations that, and I've talked about this. I sometimes get in rants on the radio about this, but it is disgusting to me in America that our federal government does not totally fund all the help for our disabled or paralyzed veterans. It is just insane to me that we don't. I mean, I think it's great that you're doing this charity and you have an organization, but I think it's sad in a way that we have to have these organizations, and there's tons of them out there that try to help disabled veterans or paralyzed veterans or veterans in general. And it's just insane to me that in a great country like we have, we have to do that.
That's true. And, you know, one thing to keep in mind, every dollar raised by OPVA, 73 cents of every dollar goes right back to the members and our veterans. So we have a fairly low administration fees.
Well, I hope someday we don't have to do this, and that our government picks that up, and our government takes care of these guys, because they have paid the ultimate price, and they deserve every benefit they can get.
Yes, they have.
And I
appreciate you having us on, Chuck.
Hey, listen, I appreciate it. And anytime you have an event going on, again, if you got time today, down at McNary Golf Club in Kaiser, Oregon. They're having a golf tournament today. Starts at 1 o'clock, and then dinner's tonight at 5, you said?
5:30.
And if you're down south and you're hearing us on the radio, please take advantage of it. Go out and help this organization, because they need all the help they can get.
Appreciate it, Chuck.
Good. We're going to take a quick break. Thanks, Tom, and we'll be hearing from you again. And one of the things we've done in the past that we're trying to do is to make you aware of organizations that can help people who need help and stick a hand out there in a helping hand. It's not a handout, it's a hand up. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Carl Jepsen, estate planning attorney and co-host of the radio program Investing Simplified. I recently left the Warren Allen Law Firm to open my own office. Professional and personable service have always been the hallmarks of my practice. I believe that this move will allow me to spend more time with my clients. For more than 37 years, it has been my privilege to assist clients with practical estate planning with wills, trusts, powers of attorney, advance directives, and other documents, so that they may have peace of mind knowing that their affairs are in order. When probate becomes necessary, emotions of family members may become fragile. Having an experienced attorney that can empathize with what the client is going through makes the process much easier. My new office is conveniently located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 101, just across from Mall 205, and my phone number is 971-229-0585. That's 971-229-0585.
What you don't know can hurt you. Get that investing question or that tax question answered. Call Chuck or Kevin now at 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's Chuck Price and yep. Kevin Stege.
Okay, we're back with Investing Simplified, and I want to get back to the annuity that I think is the worst annuity on the system, and the thing about the DOL kind of got off track on there. But the DOL, to me, should have went back to the states and said, states, you're responsible on retirement plans and investments and insurance products. You clean it up. You take care of it. Because it really should be a state problem. That's my own opinion. I think the anytime we can turn something back to the states, get rid of the federal government, you're way better off. And if Oregonians want to pay additional fees to do things, then let them do it. If they don't want to pay, then let them do it. I mean, I think it should be handled at the state level. Now, here's an annuity. There's an annuity out there called a variable annuity that's sold by brokers who are securities licensed, who it's called an A-share variable annuity. The problem with this stinking thing is, yeah, the internal costs are very, very low, way lower than any other variable annuity you can buy. The problem is you have a front-end commission and a rear-end fee. So not only do you get to pay anywhere from 5% down to maybe 1% front-end fee, you also have a 6-year surrender charge, which if you want to get out of it, you got to pay another fee to get out of it. Now, most people who have bought annuities understand that annuities historically have had two ways. You either paid front end going in or you paid rear end coming out with a surrender fee. I can understand that, but having both? I saw this product sold to a 79-year-old, and in all honesty, I think it's criminal. I think it's absolutely criminal to sell somebody 79 years old or 78 years old a 7-year product that has a front-end fee that took 3.5%, actually about $12,000, right off the top. So they're in the hole $12,000. Now, for the next 6 years, if she takes her money out, she's got a surrender charge. That's insane. What's insane about it is, I want to know why it was even approved to be sold in the state anyway. Does anybody look at these things? You know, hey, I'm just on the radio here. I'll throw it out to the state. You want somebody to overlook a product, give you an opinion on it? I'll give you an opinion on it. You may not like the opinion, but I'll tell you the truth. If I think it's good for the client or not, if I wouldn't buy it, I wouldn't try selling it. And that's exactly how I feel about it. And I think too many times insurance companies go to the state insurance department, get a product approved that sucks. And, I mean, why are we selling this? I mean, we need to know the state's going to say no. They've got to say no to some of these products to people that are in their 70s and 80s buying. You know, I've seen people 80 years old buy contracts that have 10-year, 15-year surrender charges. Now, I'm very optimistic, but I'm going to tell you what. You're buying a product that exceeds life expectancy by 5 years, and you're going to pay a fee, or your beneficiary is going to pay a fee when you die. That's insane. You know, and I got to tell you, I could spend all my time probably trying to solve problems for people, but look, common sense. Use your common sense. If it's too good to be true, it probably is. If there's fees and charges, understand what they are. Totally understand what they are. And I'm just going to tell you, if somebody tries to sell you a variable annuity that has a front-end fee and a rear-end charge, you tell them to take that thing and do something with it. I won't say what it is right here on the air, but, you know, it's up to you. But I wouldn't buy it, and I wouldn't recommend it, and I think it's one of the biggest ripoffs we have. And the sad part is, it's completely legal, and you can sell it to somebody, and if they sign the damn paperwork, they bought it. And that's my rant for the day.
Well, you know how these have come about is, you know, some white-collared guys in the insurance companies or the brokerage firms have crafted up new products. You know, and it's just like, well, let's try to get fees out of both sides of this. Wouldn't that be great? And they patted themselves on the back, and they've offered it, and people are buying them.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, Kevin, that's exactly what happened. And I could name the company, but I won't on the air because they probably would sue me, and then I'd end up in court, and we'd have a big fight. And even though I might win, because it's true, you know, it's still a fight that you don't want to take if you don't have to. But the fact is, they built this product because they said, this is lower cost to the client. Well, long term, yeah. But you got to outlive life expectancy if you're an older person. And I'm not saying it's not a good product for somebody maybe 50 years old. But somebody in their 70s and 80s, you got to be kidding. That's ridiculous. That's the thing that bugs me. Nobody at the state level is looking at these insurance products or annuity products and saying, at what age do we cut it off? There's got to be a cutoff age. There's got to be a time when you look at life expectancy and say, hey, is this realistic that this person would buy this kind of product for that long a period of time when they're probably not going to be here?
I don't know of many 50-year-olds that need annuities.
Well, depending on everybody's situation, if you have a lot of high income and you have money you want to get rid of and not pay any taxes till later, deferred taxation, annuity is about the only thing you can do if you've maxed out your retirement plans. So there's a need for it, but the question is, what is the need? And so oftentimes, I think guys sell things under the guise of what is needed and what really maybe there's some other alternatives they could do. So that's, you know, that's the thing. Well, listen, we've got a caller on the line here. Carl, are you there?
Yeah.
You got a question about Oregon-Washington tax difference?
Yeah, I do. My question to you, probably Kevin would be, you know, about this. If you're doing business in either state, which ones, is there one more expensive, or is it the same nowadays? Or how does? Because I knew a lot of businesses moved over to Vancouver because they thought it was a cheaper place to do business. Is that still true, or what do you think?
Well, that is a very good question. A lot of it depends on the type of business that you have over there. I think some businesses, in general, I would say Washington may be a little more favorable, but you know they have you know, a pretty healthy business and occupation tax, depending on what the business is that you're performing. And they also have, you know, once you're employing employees, they've got a fairly healthy labor and industries tax, kind of similar to a workers' compensation. You know, and you got to do the sales tax right, or you're going to end up paying that out of your pocket, and you know, use tax on your business assets. So There's a lot of considerations in that, and you know, Oregon has sweetened the pot a little bit. If you're a partnership or a S corporation, the pass through to the owners if it's a qualified pass-through, and I won't go into all the details on that, but they dropped the rate from 9% to 7% for that pass-through income. So, you know, it's I think that really helped Oregon by doing that and may keep some small businesses in Oregon. So it's very difficult to say in general, but a lot of times avoiding Oregon's, 9% income tax on business income is that's a you got to plan that a little bit. But in general, I would look at it for a little bit and then I would make your decision and run with it and not sweat the details. You can spend more time sweating the details. I would find your location that is best for business and go with that.
Yeah. I appreciate that information because at one time it was cheaper to do in Vancouver, but now it's kind of a toss-up.
I think you're exactly right, and I think I've seen some commercials up near Kelso or so saying, you know, cheapest place to do business in Washington or Northwest or something, and you know, they may have some favorable rates, but it's getting to where the states are pretty well collecting the money that they need, so... you know, unless you're going to Nevada, you know, Nevada has a gross receipts tax now, I guess, but, you know, that used to be a pretty good place to do business too, and they're starting to collect a little more also, so.
Great. Good question, Carl. Thank you very much.
I appreciate the information. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. We got Patricia on the line. She's got a question about her mom can't draw Social Security due to dad's railroad retirement.
Yeah. Is this true? He started in the 40s, late 40s. And the spouses of the railroad workers were told that they couldn't draw on the jobs that they paid into Social Security?
Yeah, actually, it is true. And as a matter of fact, what a lot of people don't know, and I have some clients from California who were teachers, and way back when, some of the teachers' retirement plans were set up to replace Social Security, and therefore they get a totally reduced amount of Social Security, too, if they were a teacher in California. So... depending on the age they are. This happens to a lot of people who worked at the railroad because the railroad, the pension she's getting from the railroad is probably considerably higher than she would be getting Social Security.
Oh, okay.
And that's the justification of what the government did. And the government let them set those programs up because, remember, railroads way back were the mode of transportation the government supported unanimously, and they gave them extra benefits that the rest of us didn't have, like the railroad retirement. And most people I've seen who have the railroad retirement, it's much better than they would have had with Social Security.
Okay, that answered my question.
Yep, that's why. So good question, Patricia. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, and hopefully that helps some other people out there because I encounter this once in a while. We're going to take a quick break and come back with the tax investigator and really get into some taxation.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Colson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Colson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We are located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercolson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercolson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Colson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
Do you have a tax question? Here's your opportunity to ask Kevin Stege, CPA and shareholder of the Baker Colson CPA firm, that tax question that's been keeping you up at night. You can call Kevin 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's the CPA with the tax answers, Kevin Stege.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified, and we've had a rousing morning of annuities and Department of Labor regulations and phone calls. Definitely give us a call if you have any other questions, tax or investing. We'll save the legal for another day when Carl is back with us. I think I'm going to start out today with a shameless plug for Baker and Coulson. We are looking for new, young staff. I shouldn't say young, should I? We're looking for...
No, you can't. That's age discrimination.
Exactly.
Yeah, you cannot say that.
Okay.
You're looking for competent people.
We're looking for new CPAs or a CPA candidate. So if that is you, regardless of your age, and if you know somebody, a grandchild, somebody who's up and coming, wants to work for a large local CPA firm, we've got a great lifestyle that we live there. We've got good compensation. We've got a wide range of tax industries that we work in. We don't do audits, financial statement audits, that is. We do, obviously, Internal Revenue and Oregon Department of Revenue audits. But if you know somebody, have them send us their resume. We'd love to take a look. So with that, we're going to talk briefly here about, and I had mentioned this several weeks back, we're looking at some of the energy efficient tax credits and tax benefits that are out there. And there's a number of different programs. Some of them conflict a little bit or are slightly different, and I'll point out some of the details here. First off, with all of the tax law changes that have occurred, what are some of the energy efficient properties out there that can get a tax credit or a tax benefit? And in general, you've got the federal programs, you've got the state of Oregon program, and then you also have the Energy Star program. And I don't call that a tax benefit, but I bring it up because a lot of times clients confuse the Energy Star rebate that you get when you purchase certain appliances and stuff as their tax credit, when actually there's an additional tax credit available to them. So to start with, let's just look briefly at the federal side of things. In general, you've got two different programs with the federal tax credits. Basically, we're looking at what they call personal energy property, and this is going to be such things as furnaces, heat pump, water heaters, electric heat pumps, electric being the key word there, not a geothermal, biomass fuel stoves, high efficiency air conditioners, and they have to meet a certain level of high efficiency, and they have a very technical definition of that, and natural gas, propane, and oil water heaters. So these are going to get you some tax credit. Also, most people know that kind of from year to year, there has been an extension of energy efficient windows and insulation, and that can get you a couple hundred bucks a year. There is a lifetime cap on that, so you $500 or $200 for the windows that you have to look at. But one of the key things with the federal program is all of this has to be installed on your principal residence. It can't be an investment property. It can't be a rental property, retrograding a rental property or something like that. And I believe it, yes, it must, the property must be new. You can't be installing used property. So that's what we have there. Now, the federal also has a second program. And this is a significantly more of a tax credit, but it's a significant more investment on your part. And this is for geothermal heat pumps, solar energy systems for water heating and electricity, fuel cells, and some wind energy systems. And they're giving you a 30% credit on some of these things. So that's a pretty significant part of your investment to know when you buy in. You know, you're talking thousands to get a lot of these things set up. So you are obviously typically aware of your 30% credit.
Well, when you say a 30% credit, do you have to turn around and file that on your tax return to get that credit?
Yes, you do. Yep. You basically include the cost of the equipment, the cost of the installation, and there's a calculation you run on some of the forms, and it comes out with a credit that's going to roughly run about 30%. So that's pretty significant. Now, Oregon has its own program, and I'm going to split them into two parts too. One is the Energy Star program, and that's where you buy an appliance if it's energy efficient to a certain degree. They're just going to give you a rebate. You're going to turn in the form. They're going to mail you a rebate. You're going to show. I think it's based on your first month's savings, what they calculate that might be. And usually it's a nice little rebate in the hundreds of dollars. Oregon has a second program through the Oregon Department of Energy where, and it used to be a fairly robust program, and they've kind of cut it back a little bit. No longer do they give credits for washers, dryers, refrigerators, dishwashers. Those have expired, but they do have a fairly good credit for, and I'm looking at their website right now, also heating and air conditioning systems, heat pumps, that type of a thing, solar, wind energy, and then also for our Tesla owners, there is a credit for when you install the charging station in your house. So some up to a certain dollar amount when you buy your Tesla and you have to get a charging station installed, they're going to help you with that a little bit. So, and what happens here is you turn in your costs, your receipts to the Oregon Department of Energy on an application, indicate what the qualifying property is. They have a list of all these things. And then they're going to send you a postcard with the dollar amount that you get a claim on your Oregon tax return. And that's going to give you your Oregon credit for the year. So that is our energy efficient property for the year. I guess I do have one more comment for our people who are interested in a Tesla. You know, there's a $7,500 vehicle credit for electric and I think hybrid vehicles. Now they have each car manufacturer gets 60,000 cars that they get to apply this to. Of the first 60,000 that are sold, this credit follows. And most of the major manufacturers, Toyota, Nissan, Ford, GM, they've all sold their 60,000. I don't think there's much credits left with them, but Tesla still has their credit. And so I had a client that purchased one, got the $7,500 credit on the car on the federal side, also got the Oregon credit for installing the charging station. But I don't think you're going to get the credit on the is it the Tesla 3? Is that the new one that they're working
one
on?
One that's like for $40,000?
Yeah, that's going to, yeah. By the time they deliver that, almost assuredly, they're going to be past the $60,000. And that, and when you actually pay for it 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the line here, you're probably not going to get the $7,500 federal credit. So just keep that in mind.
What a bummer.
Yeah. And that's the tax investigator for today.
Okay. Well, we're going to come right back and we're going to talk with the Knowledge Trust here, and we're going to discuss some things. And I'm going to talk about the jobs report. If you didn't hear about the jobs report, I'm going to tell you the rest of the story.
Well, you know what's wrong with the world today. People done gone, put your Bibles away. They're living by the law of the jungle, not the law of the land. We do investing simplified.
Hi, everybody. Chuck Price, the financial doctor here. If you're between ages 58 and 68, choosing Social Security benefits at the right time is one of the biggest financial decisions you'll ever make. You get one chance to get it right. After 12 months, there are no do-overs. 74% of Americans receive reduced benefits. Get your free report on 44 Social Security secrets at pfgwm.com. Social Security is often one of the largest and most mismanaged assets in your retirement income plan. Claiming benefits sounds easy. So is leaving up to $250,000 of your money with the government, or reducing your benefits up to 76% over your life expectancy. For this vital information, go online to pfgwm.com or call 503-253-3000.
We do investing simplified.
Investments, tax questions, or legal concerns? Get them all answered now for free. Call Chuck, Kevin, or Carl for your answers. Call 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's the Knowledge Trust.
Well, I'm just going to start out by saying this. He could float like a butterfly and sting like a bee, and his name was Muhammad Ali. Probably the greatest boxer in my lifetime that I have ever seen, one of the greatest athletes I've ever seen. Muhammad Ali passed away at the age of 74. And I got to tell you, as a young man growing up, watching him box, it was amazing to see the physical abilities this guy had, how fast his hands were. And yet he was, I believe, around 6'4", and could actually move like a butterfly and sting like a bee. The guy was pretty amazing. And if you ever get a chance to see any highlights of Muhammad Ali in his prime, you want to see a great athlete, you watch this guy. This guy, this guy, I think, could have ran for president at one time, because he his oracle ability of talking and saying things was second to none. And the guy was absolutely funny, and he helped make Howard Cosell a household name. The sparring him and Howard did back and forth was priceless. And if you ever get a chance to see any of those old films, it's one of the things I miss about sports now. We don't seem to have the characters we used to have, like Muhammad Ali or Yogi Berra or Billy Martin, and guys that would say things that were just outrageous, but you loved to see him play or loved to see him do their athletic ability. But Muhammad Ali will be missed, and he was a great man. And I didn't agree with him totally on a lot of things, but from looking at his ability and his boxing ability, he has to go down as one of the greatest athletes of all time. And certainly, I think, the greatest boxer of all time. And if he hadn't been cheated out of a few years of boxing, he probably would have went undefeated. But that's another story. We got a caller, Dan, on the line, has a question about DEQ remediation of rental property. You there?
Yes.
Okay.
My question is, when is the cost factor tax deductible?
That's a good question. Typically, you know, you're talking about what comes to mind is like a gas station property, commercial property, and you've got to go in, remove the tanks and all that. At first blush, I'm thinking that's probably going to have to go into basis when you sell it, but I am not certain on that. There could be some current costs that you could deduct, but it feels like basis to me. I did one of these a while back, and there was so much else going on, I don't recall how we treated that. I think just with a little bit of research or, you know, give our office a call, we can help you tie that down and make sure it's being treated right.
Okay, great. I will call.
Okay,
good question. Thank you. I'm going to get right into the report. And listen, if you didn't hear the May employment report, it was one of the worst we've had in history. 38,000 jobs were added, the lowest total in almost 6 years. The private sector hired only 25,000, and the government entities added 11,000. Listen, folks, one of the problems we got in this country is too many people are tied to the government for their jobs, and too many people are tied to the government for their income. And as Benjamin Franklin said it so well back when they were forming the Constitution of the United States, when the government starts paying people to not work, and people's jobs or their payments are based on the government, they're going to vote that way every single time. And that's the problem we got in America. We now have too many people receiving money from the government. Some earned it. Some didn't earn it. Receiving this money from the government that are going to vote for those government payments. And at some point in time, we're going to run out of money. And it's coming sooner than later. And listen, speaking about that, I want to give a quick stock report because I think, you know, I haven't had a chance to do this for a couple weeks, but I want to run this down by you real quickly. If we go back to 1230, and I call this the Larry, Moe, and Curley syndrome. And that is the last three presidents we've had in this country have done nothing but run the national debt up and not use common sense and be committed to keeping America running like a fine-tuned machine. And it's got to be that way because eventually when you keep using other people's money, you'll run out of it. And we're going to start running out of it pretty darn quick. And that's the bad news. The thing is, if you go back to 12/31/99, the Dow Jones closed at 11,497.12. Well, it closed at 17,807 on Friday, June 3rd. That means for 15 years and 6 months, it's had a 3.54% real rate of return. That's the worst in 80 years. The NASDAQ closed on 12/31/99 at 4,069. It closed at 4,942.52 on June 3rd. This is the tech industry, which we're supposed to be a tech society. It's up 1.38% for 15 years and 6 months. Folks, that's not growth. The June 3rd, the S&P closed at 2,099. On 12/31/99, it was at 1469.25. So over the 15 years and 6 months, it's up 2.77%. Look, I mentioned this. I did an interview on the radio the other day, and I got asked the question about the economy, where we're at in the economy. Here's the fact. Up till 2000, or like I like to call the turn of the century, was the day the economy died. Because if you go back to 12/31/99, and Mr. Bill Clinton was in office, by the way, so him and George Bush, as far as I'm concerned, are equal to blame, and Obama hasn't done any better. The fact is, this economy started down at the turn of the century, and it's never recovered. It hasn't recovered, folks. It's recovered a little bit, but not much. Up to, from the 1950s till 2000, we had earnings, we had growth of consistently 3 to 4% over that period of time for 50 years. But since the turn of the century, we've had trouble doing 2%. Now, what is the problem? Well, here's another problem, is the national debt. Every year, Bill Clinton was in office. Look it up. I'm not making this up. But if you believe in the tooth fairy, you listen. You keep listening to the news, they'll keep lying to you. They've lied to you so damn much now, people really believe this. I have guys come in my office and say, well, Bill Clinton balanced the budget and the deficit didn't go up. Well, that isn't true. If you go back and look, and this is government records, it's factual. You go back and look, every year Bill Clinton was in office, the national debt went up. Kevin, you're a CPA. What is the difference between the national deficit and the budget? They're two totally different things. Most Americans don't even know that. My God. And you're voting? If you don't know the difference between the deficit and the budget, please do not vote next time. You shouldn't be voting in America. You got to know the difference between the deficit and the budget. Because every year since the 50s, the national debt has went up under every president, including one of my favorite, Ronald Reagan. But it's went up. It went up. Got to be honest. They're all doing the same thing. It's not good, folks. We do need changes. I hope you invest well, and I hope you sleep well, and I hope you have a great week. I wasn't here last week to talk about the vets and everything, but we did talk about the paralyzed vets today, and I hope you get a chance to contribute to them or to any veterans organization that you can. Kevin, how does somebody get a hold of you?
503-666-5569 or baker-colson.com.
And you can get a hold of me at 503-253-3000 or at pfgwm.com. That's Price Financial Group Wealth Management. And listen, if you have questions, you can email us, at askchuck@pfgwm.com. And you can also leave a question for me on the phone. You can call 877-50-PRICE. That's 877-50-PRICE. And we will be back next week live to answer your questions. Thank you very much for listening to Investing Simplified, and have a great, safe weekend.
You can listen to past shows of Investing Simplified or sign up for our free newsletter at www.pfgwm.com. This show was brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103, Portland, Oregon, 97216, 503-253-3000 or 877-50-PRICE. Investing Simplified is a registered trademark owned by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated. How often do you have a checkup? Annually? Only when you're not feeling your best? Or are you one who waits until there is an emergency condition? High blood pressure, rapid pulse, or sleepless nights could be the result of your investment portfolio or no estate plan. But there is a specialist ready to offer you a checkup on your financial health.
Paging Dr. Price. Paging Dr. Price.
Chuck Price, the financial doctor and author of Investing Simplified, is offering you a free financial checkup. Whether you're asking for a second opinion, a complete financial physical, or investment stress test, Chuck Price, the financial doctor, can help diagnose your money ailments and prescribe a prudent path towards healthy investments and peace of mind. Call 503-253-3000 to schedule your financial checkup or on the web at pfgwm.com. That's pfgwm.com. You'll feel better.